All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 27. Proverbs 27. Excuse me. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 13 says, "Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman." Now, as I said, I think last time I preached out of the book of Proverbs, it's an amazing thing to realize that there's times when the Spirit of God is pleased to take a verse of Scripture, at times out of the Psalms, at times out of the Proverbs, and say the exact same thing that he said in a previous passage of Scripture. Now this is the next verse that we come to in the book of Proverbs. But turn over to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 16. Proverbs 20, verse 16. And listen to what the Spirit of God said there. Proverbs 20:16, "Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman." Exactly the same words. Now, you know what that means to me? Selah. Pause here. Understand what's being said. This passage of Scripture is best understood, to my understanding, if we look at a courtroom. Imagine a courtroom. And whether there's anybody else in that courtroom, there's four people for sure in that courtroom. Well, actually, in our case, spiritually, three. But I'll tell you about that in a minute. But there's four different positions. Let me say it that way. Four different positions. There's a judge. There's a sinner. Someone that has inquired a debt that he can't pay. There's a surety that's in the room for the debtor. And then there's a creditor that something was gotten from, or money or whatever it was, that's owed repayment. A judge, a debtor, a surety, and a creditor. Now the one that's doing the speaking in this passage of Scripture is the judge. He's made a judgment based on all of the evidence that's brought forth. Somebody ran up a debt. He failed to pay. The creditors owed whatever, borrowed money, whatever. He wants his money. He wants what's owed to him. There's someone there who is a surety for the debtor. And the judge makes this judgment call. "Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman." Now, what has happened is a surety has made himself liable for a stranger. And what he's done is he's pledged his garment. And not being able to pay, the debtor, not being able to pay, the judge says, "Okay, you're going to pay. You pledged your garment, and now you're going to pay. Now, if that scenario right there was humanly speaking, I began to think of someone. I just got to thinking about something here in town, you know. If someone went to a place of business that someone had bought something from, some furniture, borrowed money from a bank. But if he'd come and he'd said, look, have you got anybody that has purchased something from you, borrowed money from you, that's late on their debt, delinquent? You got anybody like that? Yes, we do. Well, okay, I'll make it good. I'll stand for whatever it is. And I'm willing to do it, and I'm able to do it. For a stranger. Now, if you had someone do something like that, you'd think that probably would be about the most foolish thing somebody could do. I mean, as a general rule, I let me tell you what Proverbs 11, turn to Proverbs 11, 15. Proverbs 11, 15. First part of that verse right there. Proverbs 11, 15. Here's what Scripture says. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. My margin says he's going to be sore broken. If you, when you pledge and you're a surety for someone. Now, I've said this before. All of us as parents, we've helped our kids and we'll do what we can. But I'm talking about someone that is a stranger. And I'm going to tell you what this stranger is in just a minute. Tell you who it is and what he is. This stranger, just the wording, looking it up in Scripture. I mean, in the concordance. Here's what stranger means. Unreliable. Unreliable. Strange woman means unfaithful. Unfaithful. If you make yourself liable for someone that's unfaithful, unreliable, someone that's loathsome, you make yourself surety for them, you're going to pay. You're going to pay. Because they won't. And here's this scenario. And humanly speaking, we'd say I'd never want to be found in that situation. But do you know that when we look with the eyes of faith and we behold the glorious mercy of Almighty God, set forth in the glorious gospel of God's free grace and compassion to undeserving sinners, rebels against God, strangers, alienated from the household of faith. We are the debtor. We're the debtor. We're the debtor. The stranger. Who is this stranger? Well, I can tell you, he's none other than the everlastingly beloved bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's him. That's us. We're the debtor. The one chosen in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him, before God in love. We are the debtor. How did we get there? Well, in the garden, God spoke to Adam. Now here we are. We're all in Adam. We all came from Adam. If you want to know our heritage, we all had one original, humanly speaking, father. Adam. And God gave Adam this word. This word, this law. This law. Of all the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What demand was upon Adam? What was the demand? Obedience. Obedience. That's the demand. Okay. All of this, you dress this garden. I put you in this garden. Here you go. You got all of this, you have all of this except one tree. When Adam ate of the fruit, forbidden of God, he owed God a debt now. A debt was owed. The debt was owed to the creditor. The law of God, the word of God. And now what's the state? Now what is the state? Well, turn to Ephesians 2. Where are we now? We're the debtors now in this courtroom. We're the debtors. Ephesians 2, 10 to 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Now, who are we? Being born in Adam, we're revealed to be the unfaithful, unreliable. Now, here we are. Crown of our head, sole of our foot, putrefying sores, possessor of a dead heart, dead, spiritually dead heart, bent on rebellion and hatred toward God, refusing to bow. Adam didn't obey, now we can't obey. Dead, guilty, broke, and arrogantly defiant. That's the debtor. That's the debtor. Now that's what we are. Born in this world with a carnal mind that's enmity against God. That's us. In debt to the law of God, the creditor. Failures to obey God's command. Deserving to be cast into hell, but without a surety, we will be. The law of God said, this do and live. And man didn't do. And now, he's unable. He's under the penalty, in debt to the law of God. And the law demands payment. God's word is sure. He's a just God. And the law cannot save him. Law can't save. The law, by the law, is the knowledge of sin. That's what I know. Can't justify me. Why? I'm guilty. You can't tell a man he's just when he's guilty. Law's not going to do that. Can't make me righteous. All it can do is expose the depth of my debt. And the payment? The wages of sin is death. Boy, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Oh.
But there's a surety. A blessed surety. The people of God, the elect of God, possessed a surety before they were ever created. A surety who stood for them. An answer for them. Eternally, the sheep, the debtors, they were chosen in Christ, the surety, before the foundation of the world. Scripture says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, Proverbs 8:31, he said, I was ever before him, one brought up with him, and our delights were with the sons of men. Here's these that shall come forth, his bride, his beloved. I've always loved you, betrothed you unto me in righteousness and judgment. And here she is. He's the gift from the Father. They're his by his own purchase, by the shedding of his own blood that the Father saw, beheld before the foundation of the world, before they were ever created. The Father saw the payment made. He's going to make good on it. And the Father trusted him. He knew that she'd fall into debt. He knew it. He knew that she's going to have to be redeemed. He knew that her debt was going to have to be paid. He knew that. I'll stand for it. I'm going to make it good. I'll pay it. Oh, and the bride now. Born in debt to the law. Owing a debt. Guilty. Deserving punishment. And the surety. The surety. He pledged his garment. I'm going to pledge my garment for what she owes. Made himself answerable to the creditor, to the law of God, who now deserves, demands payment. All right, here she is. She's guilty, caught, convicted. If she has no surety, she's going to be cast out, punished, deservingly. And the surety says, I pledge my garment. The judge says, take his garment that is surety for a stranger. Take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Now, if it was just a piece of clothing that we were talking about, that'd be one thing. But this garment that's been spoken of in verse 13 concerning the garment of the surety has great significance. A garment in Scripture spoke of the conduct. I'm going to show you a couple of scriptures here. Or character of the owner. Now, you know the Scripture says that concerning our righteousness in ourselves, what's it say about it? Filthy rags. Now, let me just read this Psalm 109, 17, 18. I'll read this scripture. As he loved cursing, so let it come upon him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. It's speaking about us, men in general, men born in Adam. As he clothed himself, here's what men think is their righteousness before God. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment, So let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones. You want to stand before God in your best, in your works, in your will, in your choice? You want to stand before God? Here's what he says you're clothed with, all of us by nature. We're clothed with cursing. We wrap ourselves in our self-righteousness and say, I stand before God. I've made my choice with the Lord. He said, you're clothed with cursing before me. Thank you. You can approach me. Concerning the character of a believer. Now this is how the Spirit of God moved Peter. First Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Humility. Before others, yes, but before God. I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies. Lord, have mercy on me. That's what that publican said. That Pharisee bragging. And I do this, that, and the other. And I'm not this, I'm not that. I do this, I do that. I'm not like him. I'll tell you that. I mean, I know I'm not perfect in myself. But at least I hadn't done what he did. At least I've done some things. But I've never stooped to the depth of what he did. That's a Pharisee. We don't know the depth of what we've done. What we consider to be just light. You know, that was just a little white lie. Well, that little white lie, judged with that little white lie, a man or woman will spend eternity in hell if that's charged to their account. A white lie. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Oh, but when we come back to this passage right here and we consider the surety who pledged his garment. His garment which represented his glory, his righteousness. I want you to hold your place and turn to Exodus 28. Exodus 28, verse 31, 32. Exodus 28. Whenever the garment for Aaron the priest was to be made, the Lord instructed Moses to set forth this truth. Thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and Thummim. Thou shalt be upon Aaron's heart, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod of all blue. And there shall be a hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall be a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of a habergeon, that it be not rent. I had to look that up, what a habergeon was. It appears as though that around the collar, the robe of the priest was one piece. It was woven in one piece. And around the top, it was like a corset, very strongly woven. Couldn't tear it. You know, whenever the Lord at Calvary, they were going to take it, and first of all, the soldiers were going to take it and tear it up, but they said, no, let's cast lots for it. Nope, don't tear it. What that set forth was the glorious, unbroken, unrentable perfection and glory and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that is imputed to his people. That righteousness that as the God-man mediator, as a man, the God-man, holy man, he earned a righteousness before God that is charged to his people. That's his garment. That's what's set forth by his garment. That was declared in his word that God is magnified above all of his name. He said, now, this debtor who owes a debt to the creditor, to the law of God, because you broke it. And you owe. And you, who are the surety, the Lord Jesus Christ, what did you pledge? I pledge my garment. I pledge my glory as the servant of Jehovah, the representative of my people, their head, their husband, the one who will stand at the surety. I'll answer for them. And whatever he owes, I'm going to pay. And I pledge my righteousness, my glory, myself. And the judge says, take it. And you give it to him. You take it. Take his pledge. Take his garment that's surety for a stranger. Take his pledge for a strange woman. What did it cost him? What was due? The debtor. That's what it cost him. Whatever the debt was, whatever the wages was, we were in debt to the law of God. What did we have to pay? Death. That's the only payment. Any plea bargaining? None. None. The wages of sin is death. And he bore the guilt of his people. He bore all their guilt. Whatever he's done, that's mine. I'll take it. I'm the surety. And who I am, I give to him. I'll stand for him. Take it. Give it to him. Give it to him. And now you're liable. Now you're liable. Scripture says, he laid down his life for the sheep. Willingly. Bore their debt. Bore their sin. Took the judgment that was due them. And he hung before God Almighty. And the Spirit of God reveals that God forsook him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because they were due, and you bore it. You took it. You took it. You made yourself surety. And what's due them, you're going to pay. You're going to pay. And the sword of God's justice was plunged into the very being of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he died under the judgment of God. And he redeemed them. Bought it, paid their debt. And he died. He died. Buried. And now, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm guilty. He's my surety. I put no confidence in my flesh. The Lord who has answered for me, by the grace of God, I trust him. I believe him. I believe him. I offer unto him the only thing I've got, the sacrifice of my praise and thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving me thy great salvation so rich and free. Amen. Okay, Gary.